This is Joanna Schrader reporting live for AgWire.com, and I'm here with Gerald Simonson. And Gerald, you're from Ruskin, Nebraska. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
And Gerald, you are the chairman of the board, correct, for the National Sorghum Producers?
That's right. I became chairman in October of last year, and I'm serving a one-year term.
So can we start off by talking about what the Sorghum Producers does?
Well, you know, we do a lot of policy work and legislative and regulatory stuff for the sorghum growers of the United States. We have state affiliations and a national office out of Lubbock, Texas. One of our big things in terms of policy and legislative, we've worked about 8 years. We had some issues with the formula that was used for figuring our price election for crop insurance. And after a long struggle, we finally got the methodology changed, which to sorghum producers in the United States means a difference of, in 2009, the sorghum price election was 77.8% of the price of corn, and for 2010, it's going to be 97.8%. So this is a huge difference in coverage for our producers. In a personal note, on my farm, that means a difference of about $35 per acre of crop insurance coverage. So we're very excited about this huge victory, and our producers are very appreciative of our work there.
So now, that is a huge accomplishment. So what are some of the other things that you're currently working on their behalf?
Well, you know, one-third of the U.S. sorghum crop is going into ethanol right now. So we're very focused on the ethanol industry, not only from a research and development side and a marketing side, but also the policy end. As I said before, we're kind of the policy arm for the sorghum growers. And, you know, the RFS2 rule has just come out. You know, we're very happy that sorghum has an inclusion in that. We have a few issues with, you know, some of the things that they say. And, we want to work with USDA and EPA to kind of iron out some of the rough edges and make sure that sorghum has a viable future in ethanol. And moving forward into the next generation of biofuels, you know, everybody's familiar with the starch base. And, you know, we can take a bushel of sorghum and get the same gallons of ethanol per bushel that you get with corn. But we can also move out and we can make sugar-based ethanol like they do with sugarcane with our sweet sorghums. You know, it's used quite a bit in India, Africa, China, and Brazil. And then also moving forward into the cellulosic and biomass, we have energy sorghums and forage sorghums. The Department of Energy is very excited about the yield in ethanol coming from these sorghums. So, you know, we've kind of got a three-way punch. We've got the whole ethanol thing surrounded. We just got to bring it together and move it forward.
So, Gerald, you know, I don't know that, you know, a lot of people aren't as familiar with sorghum. You know, the domination in terms of ethanol conversation has really been corn ethanol. So can you talk a little bit about where sorghum is actually grown in our country? And you mentioned some different types of sorghum, you know, where they're best fit for different regions.
Well, the basic sorghum belt, you know, it starts at the South Dakota. It starts in South Dakota and basically goes from the Mississippi River to the Rocky Mountains and straight south to the Gulf and then across Texas on into Mexico. A lot of sorghum grown in Mexico. But then above and beyond that, there's approximately 38 states currently that have certain amounts of sorghum in for different reasons, small pockets here and there. The primary, Kansas being the largest sorghum state, Texas number two, Nebraska number three, and then on down the list. But, you know, those things are going to change a little bit. A lot of years, there'll be more sorghum in one area and less in another. So but that is the basic area.
So, you know, you talked about you had this victory in terms of crop insurance, and, you know, you're working very, very diligently with EPA and different organizations on sorghum for biofuels. You know, what's your prediction, Gerald, in terms of the opportunity to expand, you know, the sorghum acres in our country?
Well, I think it's very good. You know, we had in our sorghum session on Thursday, DuPont was in and they announced, gave a lot of information on a new over-the-top weed control product that really has our producers very excited. It's probably going to be available in small supplies in 2012, but you know, just the overall industry, the seed industry people, the chemical industry people we've talked to here at this show, you know, they're very excited. They're moving new products into sorghum. We've got new traits coming into sorghum. And with this ethanol thing, and also, you know, sorghum takes about half the water of corn. So a lot of areas where water is a big issue and ethanol is a driver, you know, we're going to see more sorghum in those areas. There are certain areas where corn is a better choice. But, you know, all in all across the country, I see sorghum acres, you know, on the increase, maybe not huge leaps and bounds, but just a slow incremental gain over the next few years.
For growers who are, you know, some are here, some aren't here, who want to get more information about the National Sorghum Producers and what you do and how you could actually help them, where can they go to get more information?
Yeah, you know, you can go to our website. It's just sorghumgrowers.com. We also have a publication that we put out, Sorghum Grower Magazine. And, you know, you can get online, and if you'd like to receive the magazine, there's a form on there you can fill out, and we'll start sending it to you if you're not already getting it.
Well, fantastic. Thanks, Gerald.
Well, thank you.